weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
It's bigger than The X Factor. With an average of 12 million viewers, it's Britain's most watched programme. It is The Great British Bake Off, and I am delighted to be with finalist Ian Cumming in his kitchen today. And he is busy working away on some shortbread biscuits, which I've been allowed to taste. And they're incredible, just as Mary said, the most perfect shortbread biscuits, crumbly, buttery, with a hint of lemon, beautiful. And the chocolate on top has, now I couldn't guess, but it's got a little secret ingredient, Ian.
It's got just a little bit of bergamot oil in there, so the same stuff that gives Earl Grey tea. It's some special sort of, I don't know, floral kind of flavour.
It is an amazing combination, and they look beautiful. I mean, you'll be able to see pictures on our website, but they're just the most perfect-looking biscuits I've ever seen. So, Ian, it is just like being in the tent with you sat here, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's quite a small workbench, and here we are with a sort of messy little production line.
So, first of all, I want to say massive congratulations. Massive congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
You're a finalist. Out of how many people?
The number of people who apply for Bake Off is just insane. I think it's somewhere between 20 and even 60,000 was what somebody said. I thought it was amazing that I got, you know, I actually got a phone call back from the application form, and then it kind of just went from there. It's like, whoa, I got through to the next round. And then
how many rounds were there? What was the sort of audition process?
There was so many. So there was an application form, telephone interview, and yeah, then various sort of test bakes and stuff like this, and it just went on and on until I think there were 50 of us. Yeah, it took a few weeks. And then finally got a phone call saying, you're on. Like, oh, God, what have I done?
Honestly, this is it. No backing out now.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of think, oh, if I just got down to that last 50, that would have been a really honourable thing to do, be able to say, yeah, I got down to the last 50. Isn't that good? And wouldn't have had to do any of the hard work. And there was a lot of hard work involved in it.
So in your practice rounds, even before you got on the show, did you produce some of the things, some of the bakes that you did on the show? Or did you do completely different? Can you remember?
There were sort of one or two elements that I then ended up bringing to the show. And there was so much I had to learn. I mean, really, before the show, it's fair to say I barely did anything, especially cake-wise, I barely did anything more complicated than a Victoria sponge. I mean, really, I mean, just, but then in the end, end up building sort of towers of eclairs and insane things like that. So
you're kind of learning as you go and always just researching and practicing and...
Yeah. If I'd cooked a pudding before the show, it would be an apple crumble. Really would have been. I mean, nothing more complicated than that. And then it went from there.
And you're in the top three.
Now I'm in the top three, yeah.
But you gave us such a scare this week. Oh, my word. I mean, yeah. I was just praying that you were going to get through. But you're well...
Yeah.
Wow, you're well. I mean, your show stuffers are incredible, but that, yeah, I think, just blew me away.
Yeah, I mean, the chocolate well was quite a ridiculous idea. I mean, all along, I wanted to just take risks. I think, you know, I took some risks right from the first bakes I brought down for interviews and things. Yeah, I think the chocolate well was right up there, because there's just so much that could have gone wrong with it. And if you break some element of it, then you just end up with a pile of chocolate.
So you live in Cambridge, you live in Great Wilbraham, which is a beautiful little village. But yeah, you were saying you haven't always lived here, so that's sort of part of, Cambridge is part of why you've started baking a bit more and why you ended up on the Bake Off.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny, really, because I used to live in Lewes, which, yeah, had cafes and bakeries and all these sort of places where I would just go out for cakes and bread and what have you. But since moving to Wilbraham, I kind of realised that if I wanted nice stuff, that really I had to make it myself. Hence I got more into the baking and it went from there.
So because I live in a village and we don't even have a shop.
Right.
So, you know, it's quite difficult. If you need something or you want something, you just can't get hold of it in the same way. And it's obviously made you more resourceful.
Yeah.
And like you say, you've learnt a great new skill and actually it's taken your life in a completely different way. I mean, how has the Bake Off changed you as a person and changed your life?
I kind of don't think I quite grasped the enormity of Bake Off when I entered it. Obviously, I knew it was a hugely popular show. I mean, hugely. You know, I guess I thought I was entering, just a baking show. You know, you're showing your whole life there, and it's, you know, it's almost fair to say it's a personality show, which is something I never really thought I'd get into, but I did, for better or for worse.
And let's be honest, cakes and chocolate and bread, it's a feel-good thing, isn't it? I think that's why the show's so popular.
We all feel good when we have some nice food, a treat, really. I mean, this stuff, you know, it should be a treat. And bread, you could say, is a day-to-day thing, but, you know, nice bread, fresh bread, properly made, can be a really lovely thing. It shouldn't just be a sort of a staple to carry a bit of ham or cheese or something.
Because obviously I'm from a baking background. My family have a bakery. And I was disappointed that there wasn't much bread in this series. I didn't feel there was much opportunity for baking because I really enjoy that part of it, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, for you, are you more of a cake man or a bread man? Because make your own bread, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess bread and puddings are my thing, really. Really, the only time I made cake was for kids' birthdays. I've only got two kids, and that only happens twice a year, really. So, yeah, I so rarely make maid's cake.
So you're more into your bread, so you would have liked to have perhaps done more bread on the show.
Yeah, I mean, last year they had an enriched dough week. So sort of bread with, what's it, it's got sugar, it's got eggs in it.
Like a brioche type.
Like a brioche, like a panaraisin, all that sort of stuff. So I would have been, a lot more comfortable with more stuff like that. Pastry week and anything to do with flaky pastry.
That was your nemesis, wasn't it? Your vol-au-vents.
Yeah, my nemesis, exactly that. That's just the word I used vol-au-vents. I was dreading them.
So tell me why you entered the show. Was it your wife's idea?
It was like last year, my wife and I were watching the final, and they got this tea party on the last day. She saw it and was like, oh, wow, Ian, that looks like such an amazing tea party. Yeah, I'd really love to go to it. Go on, enter Bake Off, get me along to it. I was like, okay, so put in the application form, just not in a million years ever thinking it would come to this. And here we are, and about to get the tea party again.
What do your children think of it?
I guess they're quite ambivalent in some ways about it, because whereas my daughter... She loves all of this stuff. I don't think there's been a single bake that she hasn't liked. And she's actually got quite a good palate. She'll taste stuff and go, oh, it's got this in it, it's got that in it.
And how old is she?
She's only 8. So I've been really impressed with how she's, she's got a good sort of understanding and knowledge of flavour. My son, on the other hand, he's just not interested in most of this stuff. He does like these shortbread biscuits, the ones in front of us. But apart from that, there's hardly been anything that he's really gone for. I mean, he likes bread, but...
And how old is he?
He's 5. Oh. Yeah. So, Towers of Eclairs, not interested at all.
What was your favourite bake? What did you enjoy doing most?
The chocolate well was... That was a really satisfying one to have done. It didn't come out perfectly in the end, but it was such a ridiculous idea, and to have actually done it, makes me really happy. And I think it was that one and the Victoria's Crown, the Charlotte Bruce. That one I was really happy with. I mean, neither of those weeks I got Star Baker, but that kind of didn't really matter. It was more about, I just enjoyed doing those ones best, and they gave the most, I guess, the most entertainingly daft result, really.
Let's talk about Star Baker, because I think you must hold some sort of record. You were the first Star Baker of this series. Is that right?
No, I was actually the second Star Baker in the series. So it was Marie. This was the thing. So Marie got Star Baker in the first week. And then she went out. Yeah, exactly. So then I got Star Baker very unexpectedly in week 2. And really unexpectedly.
But then you got it 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
So suddenly you were the one to beat.
Yeah, oh, very much so. I mean, lots of jokes. I think they were jokes about wanting to break my fingers and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, well, yeah, that's fair enough, actually, guys.
Did you feel the pressure, though, when that was happening? Because it's hard to stay at the top, isn't it? Especially early on.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of hard to stay at the top, but you kind of... Because it's just a level playing field each week, you think, OK, well, that's... You kind of just forget about last week and think, right, here we go again. That counted for nothing. I've got to fight my way through another week.
And what was your worst bait? What was the worst thing you
worst
really...
Worst bait? Yeah, either the vol-au-vents or the cream horns. So two things with flaky pastry. What do you call it? Puff pastry. Puff pastry, that's what it is, not flaky. Just really struggled with those. Timing and, getting it right, just couldn't do it.
So are you allowed to keep any of your showstoppers? Because I know you said you did have your practice well was at home, and your wife's taken it into work today.
Yeah,
but you've got that as your, you know, keep.
Yeah, and most all the stuff that we cooked there, none, we weren't allowed to take any of it with us. I mean, we would get to try each other's bakes after the judging, which is really interesting, but unfortunately we couldn't take anything with us. You know, it had to be eaten fresh anyway, so it's all gone, apart from the chocolate well, and that is just a solid block of chocolate. So, yeah, isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
Never leave it out in the sun.
Yeah, did leave it on a windowsill. Oh, so one side of it has slightly melted.
So tell me about the people in the tent. So was there anyone that you got particularly close to, that you were friends with?
The people who I got closest to were the people who I spent the most amount of time with, really, especially Tamal and Nadia. And especially going through an experience like that, you feel a real sort of bond of being through something together, which very few people can really quite understand what it's like, apart from probably people who've been in the tent previously. And it's been very interesting reading the reviews. You know, each week, the next day, there'll be a whole load of reviews about what happened last night in the tent. Basically, it's always last year's bakers who write the best reviews. They understand the deal of what the pressure's like and what it can do to you.
Now, I do think that you come across as very unflappable, although you do waver.
Well, yeah. I flap the baking trays, but hopefully not myself. Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering, is that your Buddhism background? Because obviously you are a travel photographer. That's what you do. You travel the world. You've spent a lot of time in the Himalayas. Yeah. You know the Dalai Lama. You've written books with him.
I mean, kind of, books that he's written, I've had my pictures in. I think that'd be the better way of putting it. I mean, I'd love to say, me and him, we work together, we put books together. That'd be stretching the truth a little.
But you know him, you've met him, you've spent time with him.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about the Dalai Lama, because he was in Cambridge recently, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I feel really, really lucky to have, got to, got this kind of relationship, working relationship, call it what you will, with the Dalai Lama over the last few years. I mean, I first met him in, I think it was 98. I'd had a big long trip around Tibet and travelled out through Nepal and went up to India and, took a big risk going up to where he lives. Managed to get a private audience with him, which is amazing, really awe-inspiring thing to do. And you see that was the first time I saw the effect that he has on other people. That is the most amazing thing about him, I find. Really, really moving. He was meeting these Tibetan refugees who had escaped from Tibet over winter, walked over the Himalayas in winter, and they were meeting, their god, their king, for the first time. And blew me away. Really, really moving.
Does he radiate a kind of really warm aura? Is it just the...
Yeah.
Does he say much? Is he a man of few words?
I mean, he's actually he's a man of a lot of words, really. You know, sometimes he can really, really go. You know, listen to him talk at so when he's on stage or something is one thing. But I think it's more the small interactions he has with people when he's out and about. And that's the wonderful thing. The happiness he brings to people around him is incredible, really incredible. And this is the thing, he was here in Cambridge just a couple of weeks ago whilst Bake Off has been on. Which I have to say, I think it's been a really good thing, because one of the things I found difficult about Bake Off is the tabloid press. They told us it might be tricky, but it's been unbelievable at times. You're taking something very positive like Bake Off, and a lot of the time they produce these negative stories, about us bakers and about what we do for these newspapers. So it was really, really nice to have, to be around the Dalai Lama, who's just such a force for positivity, and think, actually, this is what matters in life. Not this sort of silly tittle-tattle in the tabloid press. It's just going to come and go. Pay attention to this guy.
And were you working? Were you taking photographs?
So, yeah, I was photographing the conference, but particularly his owner, Dalai Lama, at the same time. And then, after Cambridge, he then went down to London and, sort of followed him around there for a couple of days, and then had this weird honour of giving him a cake. Which was just like my two worlds collided at this point when, I had to give him this cake.
What cake did you give him?
Well, it was, I'll go and get the moulds. I'll show you the moulds. Let me just have a quick rattle round. So these are the moulds I made for the cake.
Beautiful. Now, what is this, the lotus flower?
So, exactly. So you look, the idea was you'd look down on it from above and it'll be like a lotus flower. Concentric layers.
So you've got three different sizes, basically. You've got a large, a medium, and a small, and so you place...
So I bake each... So place these... I mean, because these are just rings, albeit flower-shaped rings, on a baking tray with a bit of foil underneath to hold the batter in place. And then, just bake them like a normal cake.
Like a sponge?
Like a sponge, just...
And how did you get them white or cover it all?
So then I, stacked all these...
Made those, amazing.
Took me ages to make all of these. A lot of bending involved in, what have we got, sort of 9 points, are there? For 8 point flowers, each of them. But I'm really glad I did this weird shaped cake. But, then each layer I'd cut in half, put some homemade lime curd in the middle, and then it's kind of like a sort of cream cheese kind of icing. So it's not the best icing for doing fancy decorations, but I think it tastes the nicest, and that's what I go for.
And you are king of flavours, as Paul Hollywood likes to say. And I mean, having tasted some of these, I can see now what he meant. Yeah. And tell me a bit about Paul Hollywood. What was he like?
It's funny, there was an article a couple of days ago I saw in the press about how I think he felt he had been edited quite harshly, because actually at times he was very nice, and he was. This is the thing, when it really mattered, he was really, really nice.
But he does try and put you off a little bit, doesn't he? Play mind games?
Paul was very nice when it mattered. In the same time, he did slightly play mind games and kind of... put a fair seed of self-doubt in your mind about is this really the right thing to do, or should I be using this sort of flour and all this stuff? So he didn't make life easy. But when it came to judging, he knew what he liked. I think he was totally fair.
It is quite subjective, isn't it? I mean, we're not all going to like the same things. We don't all have the same tastes. Do you think he has favourites?
Favourites among the bakers?
Yeah.
I don't think he does, really. Yeah, I think he has he has favourite flavours more than favourite bakers. So it is kind of interesting that, it's all been judged by two people, which, as you say, is, it's quite a subjective thing. So I guess you just got to hope you've got the same taste as Paul and Mary.
Or you could cheat a little bit and just gen up on what they like.
I know, I so should have read up on what they like, because apparently it seems to be a well-known thing that Paul doesn't like pomegranate, but... I guess I didn't know enough about Bake Off and him, what his tastes were, before I just thought, I better put it in the creme brulee. Because personally, for me, I wouldn't have put it in there. But I thought, that's what they'll like, so I chucked it in there. My mistake, there we go. Mm-hmm.
And is his name really Paul Hollywood, and is he really that brown?
He has got a fair suntan, and Mel and Sue did keep on reminding him about that as well.
Mel and Sue, they do make me chuckle, I have to admit. Are they around a lot? Do you see them a lot? Are they sort of tasting and chatting and making you laugh? Or?
Yeah, Mel and Sue were around a fair bit, and I think they'd often sort of take it in turns to be around. They were wonderful. I can't say enough about them, about how great they were. Where the only problem was, especially in week one, where you're kind of getting used to them, they were hilarious. So, you can there were sort of various opening shots, right, just keep a straight face here, deadpan face, and they'd just be cracking joke after joke after joke, and it's like, I can't help myself now, I'm just smirking like a fool. Lovely.
Brilliant, really relieves the tension, I would imagine.
Yeah, so much that. I mean, this is what's sort of kind of the charm of Bake Off, is that, it just doesn't come across too seriously, it's just a bit of fun, really.
You do say that, but as a viewer, I mean, I was crying last week when you were crying at the end. I mean, it's a bit of a rollercoaster of emotions for cake, surprisingly.
Yeah, okay. A good friend said, these people, it's only cake. One of them is like, but at the same time, you've put months of practice into this stuff. I mean, months of practice, so I'm a happy crier. I'll admit it. I did it at my wedding, and I did a bake-off on one or two occasions.
And I actually think, like you say, when you're spending so much time, putting in so much effort, and baking is a labour of love, whatever anyone says, and so you're putting yourself into it, your heart and soul,
Yeah, so much so. So, last week, when I was so convinced I was going home, I mean, no two ways about it, I thought, I've done well, it's been good, but this is it. I'm a goner. So, the relief when I heard I'm staying was...
And also a little bit sad for the person going, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it was really sad to lose Laura. Yeah, and I still feel really bad for her. That she said the week before that Paul took the bullet for her, and I feel like she did the favour for me this week. Oh, yeah, the sweetness just happened.
Do you cook at home? Are you in charge of the meals at mealtime?
Yeah, I mean, I do more or less all the cooking. My wife, she doesn't work on a Tuesday, so she sometimes does it then.
And what about Mary Berry? We must talk about Mary. Did you practice any of her recipes? Have you got any of her recipe books?
When we bought this house, they left two recipe books, including one of hers, which has got some quite entertaining comments in there from the old lady who's thrown this place. I have got that, but...
What a weird coincidence.
Yeah, no, it is quite strange. Yeah, so it's some... But yeah, I haven't actually ever bought any of her books. My mother has, but I've never done it, no.
And Mary, I mean, I don't know how old she is. She looks incredible for her age, but she's still sharp. Sharp, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, no, she's... As you say, she is sharp, and she can still eat 27 cheesecakes. I mean, it's like, whew.
Oh, goodness, I love that, I love that. Mm. Is she quite a hard... Because she does give you the look. She's more about the looks, isn't she, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, she...
Is she good, good cop, bad cop?
I mean, she is, but, I mean, it's, I can't remember where I read it. Somebody said, generally, of course, she kind of tends to dwell on the more positive aspect of a bake. So Paul will say... Okay, yeah, your biscuits are a bit underdone. And then she'll chip in, oh, but they're a lovely flavour. But if she gives you criticism, you know you've done wrong. You've really got it wrong. Yeah, I think, I can't remember if she's...
I didn't say, did she say anything bad to you?
I'm trying to think if she did. Of course, slightly infamously, she gave me a wink last week, which I didn't remember at all, but as soon as I saw it on television, I was like, oh my lord, here comes trouble.
So you didn't get a handshake from Paul, but you got a wink from Mary, which I think is better.
Yeah, well, this is it. Yeah, no, I don't think anyone's done a wink.
I have to be very careful what I ask you, because I'm very conscious of... You've got... Sorry. But let's talk about the fact that it's obviously the biggest secret you've ever had to keep. Because you've now, finished filming at the end of June, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So now for about nearly 3 months, you've had to keep that secret of who won... And obviously you have to tell your wife or those closest to you, which means they then have to keep that secret. It must be impossible. I mean, I would blurt that out.
Yeah, I mean, keeping after a secrets wine. Has been... Oh, I mean, it's been 9 months of keeping secrets, really. I mean, it hasn't just been since the final. It's really been since, right at the beginning, the first interview or whatever. It's been a struggle, really. And I don't... I'm okay. Maybe I look calm on television. I don't feel like I've got a poker face at all. When somebody says, oh, who won it? Then you can say, oh, I can't tell you that. That's fair enough. It's when you start talking about other things and you think, oh, if I tell you this, that will mean you realise that I get to the final. So, oh, yeah, there's a lot of conversation. You get through halfway and think, no, actually, I'm going to... Stop going there now.
Well, you've done a very good job not to let it slip.
I really have.
And next week, obviously now, then you can talk about it to your heart's content. And it must be such a relief that finally everybody knows.
There'll be nothing else to hide away. Yeah, it'll all be out there. Which will be nice, actually. It'll be really nice.
Mm. Well, Ian, honestly, it's been such a joy to meet you today and to get to taste your biscuits. Yeah. And we wish you all the luck in the world for the final. Mm. Thank you for talking to us today. And I, for one, cannot wait to see the final next week and what you come up with for the showstopper. It's going to be amazing, whatever it is. So make sure you're watching the Great British Bake Off final, BBC One, 8 p.m.